The following is a sermon by Pastor Ralph Abernathy of Mount Olive Lutheran Church, located in Newton, North Carolina.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How dare those Samaritans treat Jesus this way? How dare they despise him and reject him and not want him to stop and stay at one of their homes, not even want him to pass through their territory? Who do these Samaritans think that they are? You heard how James and John were so upset about it that they became vengeful, full of rage. And they went and asked Jesus, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them, burn them up, reduce them to ashes?" But Jesus turned to James and John. And when Jesus turns in the Gospels, it's usually because he has something important to say. When we have the gospel reading, and I take the gospel book off the altar, and we all rise, and I face you and read those words, think of it this way. Jesus is turning to you, his people, his beloved people whom he has redeemed at the cost of his innocent sufferings and death and the shedding of his holy precious blood. And he has something vitally important that he wants to say to you and to me. Sometimes those words are words of encouragement, comfort, words of forgiveness and life and joy and salvation. And sometimes they are words of rebuke, of correction, to bring us face to face with our sin. Why? So that we may come face to face with Jesus in the preaching of the good news of the gospel. Come face to face with Jesus as he gives us his body to eat and his blood to drink from this very altar. So Jesus turns to James and John and he rebukes them strongly. And in some versions of the New Testament, we have these words that he spoke to them. "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of, because the Son of Man came not to destroy people's lives, but to save them." And they went on to another village. Now, sure, the Samaritans rejected God himself in rejecting our Lord Jesus Christ. It was God himself that they did not receive, that they did not welcome. And that is indeed a grave sin. It's a sin such as the third commandment warns against when it tells us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. And the catechism tells us what this means. We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Because to gladly hear and learn God's word, to gladly receive that word, is to receive Christ himself. It seems like with every passing week, it becomes more and more evident that we live in a culture that is rapidly losing whatever Christian foundations it had. With the Supreme Court decision of this past week that basically says marriage, same-sex marriage, is okay. It's going to become the law of the land eventually, and it will even here in North Carolina. I saw shaking of heads when I mentioned that. And indeed, that is a serious thing, because marriage between a man and a woman was instituted by God in the very beginning. It is the first institution. The family is the foundation of human society. So what should we do? Should we be like Pat Robertson, the wacko TV evangelist? And forgive me if I offend anyone by saying that, but he is wacko. Who said, well, I see God bringing great judgment upon this country because of the Supreme Court's decision. Heads are going to roll. You know what? That's not Pat Robertson's business, and neither is it ours. Here's our business as a congregation of Jesus Christ: to proclaim the gospel faithfully to sinners of every kind. Not to excuse sin, not to accept sin and say it's okay. We tend to be horrified by same-sex sin, but what about heterosexual sin? What about the lusts that dwell in our own heart? What about the times when we're ashamed to admit that deep down inside we covet another person's spouse? What about the times we've neglected God's word? What about the times we have neglected our neighbor's need? What about the times we have been so wrathful and angry toward our neighbor that if we could, we would call down fire from heaven upon our neighbor? We deserve to be on the receiving end of that fire. We deserve to be consumed in hell. But look what our Lord Jesus Christ does. He has set his face to go to Jerusalem. He has set his face like flint, and he will not be distracted from his purpose, because the days are drawing near for Jesus to be taken up, for him to be betrayed, for him to be tried, for him to be tortured, for him to be led out like a criminal and nailed to a cross, and suffer there not merely the agonies of crucifixion, but to suffer on that cross the hell each one of us deserve. He set his face to Jerusalem to be taken up. And that also includes his resurrection and ascension and his session at the right hand of the Father. And you know who this was for? For us sinners. For us and our salvation. Not just for the polite sins, which we think are the sins that we're guilty of, but for the impolite sins too. The gross sins, the hideous sins, the disgusting sins. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes all the filth of all the world's sin on himself and carries that sin away. So as a church living in an alien culture, or we are aliens living in an earthly culture that has gone astray, what is our calling? It's to be faithful to what God has given us. It's to make wise use of the means of grace, not merely for ourselves as a congregation, because if we stray away from the means of grace, we are straying away from the Christ who has willed that we come to him to receive his forgiveness and mercy through bread and wine, And through the water of baptism, and through the words of a poor stumbling preacher like me. No, we also come to the means of grace so we can be strengthened for our life of faith as we live in a culture that is growing increasingly hostile to the Christian faith, a culture that despises the cross of Jesus. A culture that may very well, hard to believe though it is, may begin an active persecution of the church. How can we stand if we neglect Jesus? How can we be faithful if the means of grace are viewed as something optional? How can we live out our lives as believers in Christ Jesus and as a church of Christ Jesus, if word and sacrament are not the center of our worship? Because it's not just for us. It's not just for our congregation. It's for those outside the church, those hideous, disgusting sinners whose sins we shake our head at and curl up our lips in disgust. The gospel is for all. Christ came for sinners, and we are to faithfully preach His law that shows people their sins and brings them to sorrow over their sins, to repent of their sins, and then faithfully proclaim the gospel so that they can be made a new creation in Jesus Christ. It could get tough for us as believers in Christ Jesus. I think it will. I think for the next generation of Christians after my own, they're going to experience active hostility if they are to remain true of Christ. We have lived so long in a culture that has honored the church, a culture in which the church was the center of the community, that we feel out of place when that's no longer the case. This is where the second half of today's gospel reading comes in, about the necessity of following Jesus, about Christ Jesus being central to your life and my life as individual believers in Christ, but also as a church. So Luke writes, as they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Sounds kind of like Simon Peter. "I will never deny knowing you, Lord, though the others leave and flee. I will not. I will remain true to you, even if I have to die for you." Well, Peter took off like a scared rabbit, but he did die some 35 years later, a martyr for Christ. "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Our life as a Christian comes above home and family. Otherwise, we are not keeping the first commandment. We have put something else in the place of the God whom alone we are to fear, love, and trust in. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, but guess what? The Son of Man lays his head and is present here among us in this very preaching of the gospel. He is welcomed among us. We receive him and rejoice in him and sing alleluias to him, for look how he comes to us with his forgiveness so that we can be declared innocent by God. He comes to us right this morning in the sacrament of the altar. And do we rejoice in that? Do we receive that? Or do we, no big deal? Well, it is a big deal because Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem for our salvation, and God has appointed for the Holy Spirit to use the sacrament of the altar in preaching and baptism and holy absolution to bring the benefits of Christ's death in Jerusalem to you and to me. To another, Jesus said, "Follow me," but this guy said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Now that can mean, I'll follow you after my father dies and I get a share, my share of his estate. Or it could mean, well, my father has just died and, you know, I've got to bury him, because that's an obligation for Jews to take care of the burial of their parents. Either way, Jesus says, let the dead, the spiritually dead, bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. That comes first, because how will the spiritually dead become alive if the gospel is not preached? If Christ is not given witness to, not just by me, but by you, priests in his kingdom. Yet another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." You older folks remember plowing behind a mule. You know what that was like? You could not plow a straight furrow if you were looking behind you. And if our focus is on other things except Christ, we will go astray from the way of life, the way of salvation, the way of the cross. We will go astray. So receive the Lord, dear friends, as he's present among you. Receive him in his word. Receive him in the sacrament of the altar. Remember your baptism when he received you and marked you as one redeemed by his holy precious blood. Welcome him and follow him, even in the midst of adversity, even in the midst of hostility, even in the midst of danger, because we follow a Lord who has been there before us, and he has overcome the world, and he makes straight for us the way of life everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen.